This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Ages and Icons, a Zoomer magazine, everythingzoomer.com original podcast. My name's Mike Crisolago. I'm the arts and entertainment editor at Zoomer Magazine and everythingzoomer.com.
And I'm Gina Bucci, the video and multimedia producer here at Zoomer Mag, everythingzoomer.com.
Yeah, this is our first podcast.
Well, it's more like a teaser, Mike. This is a little bit of a teaser, a morsel, a little appetizer, aperitif. I don't know. Give me some more languages.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, look, it's the end of the year. It's the end of 2017, right? 2018's new year, new you, also new podcast. And Gina and I are working on a podcast here. This is the first episode. It's called Ages and Icons. And basically what we're looking at doing is talking or taking our listeners sort of behind the interviews that we do at Zoomer Magazine. And, you know, as the arts and entertainment editor, I get to sit down and talk with a lot of these incredible artists, incredible writers and actors and singers. And, you know, we talk about the work that they're promoting, obviously, but we also sort of talk about their personal lives and their feelings and their, you know, just their thoughts on different various things. And these are sometimes...
Wait. And by we, you mean you, because I never got to talk to these cool people.
Gina's there more and more to help film it for us. But
I just started. It's only a couple cool people I've met, but the ones we're talking about today, Loretta Lynn, are you kidding me? I wouldn't be able to talk.
I know.
I would drool.
We want to bring you sort of behind the interview, right? Like not just what you saw in print, but these are sort of some of the discussions that we had that maybe didn't make it into the magazine or maybe weren't, you know, part of the larger story on the website. And so, yeah, just sort of bring people into the interview and let the artists speak through their own words.
Yeah, so there's like some cool stories that you just weren't able to put into your online magazine, like Catherine O'Hara talking about her mom being spooked out by family ghosts. didn't make the article, right?
Yeah, I don't want to give it away, but yeah, we thought it would be fun to do the first Ages and Icons podcast themed around the holidays, since we're all here at Zoomer, like everywhere else. You know, we're celebrating the holidays, looking forward to Santa coming down the chimney, and we thought we would look back on just some of the interviews that I've done.
I'm not even how old you are, but in your 30s, I'm assuming. Still looking forward to Santa coming down your chimney.
Yeah, why?
Do you have a chimney?
Why? What?
Does your chimney work? Who has a chimney?
Is there something you want to tell me about Santa that I don't know?
Well, no.
Anyway.
I can't be.
We, you know, over the last couple of years...
your parents failed you, Mike.
Over the last couple of years, I've talked to a lot of these... to a lot of different people that I've interviewed about Christmas memories or thoughts, or maybe they've been releasing a Christmas album. And so, we've sort of discussed the holidays. And, you know, we thought it'd be kind of fun to compile it and kick off our first episode with, you know, just talking to some of these people and hearing their memories. Some are funny, some are a little bit more poignant. But we've got a pretty cool lineup here of people that we've spoken to.
This is going to be a shorter episode, I think, than usual, because they're just, they're nice snippets of great holiday stories. And so... we're going to present that to you, and but before we do that, Mike, I'm going to throw a little surprise at you. Why don't you tell us
a
little? Yeah, that's right. It's just a preview of what's to come. I want to know of a cool holiday story that you have.
Oh boy!
Give me something from your pajama days where you wear those full body pajamas. And maybe last year.
Oh, you mean last year? Yeah, I was going to say yeah.
Since you still believe in Santa.
I
killed Mike's dream.
What do you mean still? Most of our listeners, I'm sure like all of our listeners, I grew up pre-internet. And so I just remember growing up.
I'm young. No, I'm just kidding.
It was a simpler time. And I remember waking up to my grandfather and grandmother, you know, showing up the door with the jingle bells and, you know, waking us up on Christmas morning. But I think my favorite holiday memory that I can just sort of think of off the top of my head was when I was a really little kid and Santa, leaves out a big present unwrapped under our Christmas tree. And so when you come down in the morning, all the presents are there wrapped, but there's one that's unwrapped. That's like sort of the main present from Santa. And so when I came downstairs, it was the original Nintendo Entertainment System, the original Nintendo video game.
Super Mario Bros.?
Yes, right. So I was so excited, and I ran over to the box, and I picked it up, and it was empty. And I said, oh, my God, this is like the worst Christmas prank ever, Santa. Like, this is terrible. And I was so upset about this, and my father said, wait, do you hear something? I said, wait, oh, yeah, I do hear something. And it was coming from the basement, and I ran down the basement, and Santa had set up the Nintendo system with the Super Mario Brothers game inside, and it was running on the demo on the TV screen.
So you heard, like, the theme music, the bear-near-near-near?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. That was really cool. It took a lot of, like, goading to get me to go back upstairs and open the rest of the gifts.
I would never give that to a child as the first gift, because you're not going to hang out with the family all day.
Well, that's what I mean. And I mean, like, then when you open up the socks later on, it doesn't really live up to this.
But socks. Hey. So I can't play with these socks.
The thought that counts, right?
These socks don't breathe fireballs. They don't kill turtles and exactly. Killer mushrooms.
But
That's a Super Mario Bros. Reference for you millennials out there. All right, Mike, why don't we just get started with the
Absolutely.
Show?
Absolutely. Who are we going to start with?
Let's start with some big fish, Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy.
All right, so some background. Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, I mean, they don't need any introduction. Canadian comic legends. We were sitting down, I think.
Great eyebrows on both of them.
Yeah. I think this was a couple years ago. It was just around the time Schitt's Creek was starting on CBC, and we had all gone to CBC to sit down with both of them to talk to them about the show. And as you know, on Schitt's Creek, the concept of the show, for those who don't know about it, is that it's a rich family. Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara are the parents, and they have two kids. And they lose all their money. And the only thing that they have left is this town called Schitt's Creek that they had bought as a joke for their son or you know, something to that effect. And so now they're forced to live in this little one-horse town, Schitt's Creek. And so I asked Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, it wasn't even a Christmas question. I asked them, you know, have you ever bought a gift as a joke, you know, a crazy gift as a joke? For someone that you can recall, and this was how the discussion went down.
I don't know. There was that llama, but that, you know.
Oh, I as a gift to my parents, flew one of my sisters and her family from out west to Toronto, and we were on a break from SCTV. And one of the writers was staying in a condo, and they were going home for Christmas, so I got my sister and her family to stay in the condo, and we didn't tell my parents. It was a big surprise. This is my idea of a gift to my parents, Christmas gift. And the way we announced them being in town was I was at home with my mom and dad, and we heard carolers outside. It was my sister and her husband and kids. And they're singing carols, and we're going, Mom, look, Mom and Dad, look, there's carolers out in the lawn. My mom opens the door. And she looks at them. They're kind of in the distance at the end of the driveway. Mom looks at them. Oh, my God, oh, my God. And thought she was seeing the faces of my sister and her family because they were dead somewhere. So, and almost, like,
oh my
just
God.
The reaction was not what I'd hoped at all. And my mom referred to that Christmas gift as the time I tried to kill her.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So now that you bring it up, yeah, I had a stupid gift.
Wow. The gift that almost killed your mother. Wow.
It's pretty traumatic.
That's put a little chill down my spine.
That's my mother.
Wow.
A sense of humor. It turned into something very different. Well, after she realized they were alive, then she was very happy they were there. Of course, she loves them.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Kind of a joke that kind of backfired, you know. I don't know. Bought my son a gerbil when he was small, but I guess the joke was he wasn't going to take care of it.
Joke's on the gerbil.
So the joke was on the gerbil.
So wait, I'm a little confused. So the mother thought that that was a, she really legitimately thought those singers were ghosts.
They thought her children, it was their apparitions appearing.
Right.
Because they had died somewhere else. So it's pretty funny.
Okay, so let's jump into the next story, I believe. Let's do the Tenors. That was a good one.
Yeah, the Tenors actually visited us here in the Zoomerplex in downtown Toronto, where in Liberty Village, where we're recording now. They came to talk about their new album, Christmas Together.
How many? Was it the three guys?
It is the three tenors, not those three tenors. It's the other three tenors.
No, I know,
there are Canadian three tenors.
There were four guys before.
There were four, and then there was an incident with the.
They do not talk about that
the
guy.
Canadian, oh, no, you know what? In my one-on-one interview or one-on-three interview in the latest edition of Zoomer Magazine, we do talk about it. But they were actually here to talk about their Christmas album.
Is it this current edition?
Yes, the current edition.
With Jan Arden on
the
cover?
With Jan Arden on the cover, our winter issue.
On newsstands now.
Absolutely.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
And they were here to talk about their new album called Christmas Together. And the funny thing with the Tenors is that their best-selling album ever was their last Christmas album. It was called The Perfect Gift, and it went like three times platinum. And so it's like there's something about Christmas and the Tenors that really just works. And so I was asking them about that. And, you know, they were just sort of talking about their roots in Christmas and how really singing at Christmas at their churches and their parishes for their families really are what started them on the road to the success they've had today, where they're, you know, multi-platinum worldwide, you know, stars. And and they still do that. They still go home, come off of tour, go home for Christmas, and end up singing again in their communities. And we talked about why that's important to them and how they all got started singing at Christmas.
You know, I think one of the coolest gifts that I got growing up was a drum set, microphone, a little guitar. So, like, I could literally kind of have my own band, you know. So I'd have buddies come over, and there's a picture we found recently, you know, that that shows us jamming away. I'm sure it just sounded like a dog's breakfast, but we didn't care.
If you now, this is gonna sound like a selling plug, but that picture's actually on the CD and the vinyl actually, because we're coming out with vinyl for the first time in Canada, which
That's
is cool
funny.
If you
I
really
totally
want
forgot.
The nostalgic kind of like experience, but there's a picture.
There you go. Yeah, I totally forgot
picture.
It's there and
it's awesome.
And. But yeah, I mean, you know, for us, music has always been, you know, the focal point at Christmas time. My mom sings. She had my brothers and I, you know, playing instruments since we were like young tykes. So it's,
I remember it was
whether we like it or not.
It was
know?
Me and like, you know, 20 older ladies going around caroling, and my mom would like drag me out. She's like, "You're coming out singing." I'm like, "Okie dokie." But it paid off in the end, right, boys?
Yeah. There you go. Now, like when people ask you to sing at Christmas, are you like, come on?
Yeah.
Usually by Christmas, like our, you know, we're like, oh, we're so wiped,
yeah.
You know, after that tour. But you know, it's always special when you know for them and for your congregation, because we all have sung in our churches and stuff. To you know, to get up in front of the audience and you know sing "O Holy Night" or whatever. You know, and it takes a bit of pulling because you're like so tired, but you're glad you do it at the end, because even for us, it's a certain magic that takes us back a bit.
Yeah. And like for me, it's my dad. Like I can't say no to him. He'll take the guitar. Come here, we go, son. Ready? Here we go. Come on. And you can just see him just so amped to share that moment. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how done you are vocally, you gotta
power
through.
You know, those communities around us when we go home at Christmas time. Because same thing. Yeah, I always sing at church. You know, on Christmas Eve, I always get the call. You know, the day before, the text from the music minister, like, "Hey, would you be interested?" And, you know.
How do you say no to that?
You would never say no. You'd never consider it, because like they gave you the opportunity growing up to, you know, to sort of, you know, practice the art form, and now this is, you know, one way of giving back. But really, like, it's just such a beautiful thing to share with these people who've been so supportive. And you know, we've been at this, you know, over 10 years now. Yeah. And that first tour was in Saskatchewan. We did 12 shows in 14 days. You know, in a rental car. And janitor working the lights, and you know, that's just how it went.
Yeah.
And you know, now to be able to tour internationally and to have the support of this amazing country, we just couldn't be more grateful.
Like, does it
Do you ever think about, you know, you release this album this year that, you know, 20 years from now, people might still be listening to that album? Like, does, how does that make you feel? Like, yeah, right? Like, you used to listen to Bing Crosby. Like, people are still listening to you.
Well, that's the magic of a Christmas album, right? Because it keeps coming back every year. Part of the reason our last Christmas album is so successful. Every year, Perfect Gift gets picked up at the store, and you get to relive those magical Christmas memories all over again. And we certainly considered that when we were putting this together. You know, and we want to make this relative to now, but we also want to make it timeless for the next 20 or so years.
All right, that was the Tenors. So they sound like good boys, the kind of boys to bring home to mom.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Not me.
No, you.
Only nightmares for me. No, the only people I bring home to mom.
You know what though? If you brought them home to mom, you know, if they were like how they were here when we were shooting them for the photo shoot for Zoomer, you know, they just break into song and they charm everybody. So, you know, mom would love them.
Yeah, they just start singing about her meatballs and pasta that she makes for them.
Yeah, just singing. What's
spoiler
going
alert:
on in
the room. I'm Italian. if my incredibly ethnic name didn't give it away, which I love, right, Mike?
Oh, we're both Italian.
That's right. Okay, well, that was the Tenors. Let's stay with musicians. Let's go on to Maisha Bruger-Gossman.
Yeah, Maisha Bruger-Gossman, amazing Canadian soprano.
She's amazing. She's beautiful. Her voice is so good.
Oh, her voice is incredible. And it's interesting because we're all talking about, like, Christmas stories and happiness. And, you know, I'll let Maisha explain it. But basically, in 2014, she had a Christmas album and she had this song called Let Joy Reign. And it's about, you know, things that are, you know, people who struggle during the holidays for whatever reason, you know. And looking back, now that she's released a memoir, and I met her and talked to her about it this year, it's called Something Is Always on Fire, and learning about her struggles in her life with, you know, infidelity and debt and all these other things, I can see where this song, Let Joy Reign, may have come from. And it was important for her to just highlight how not everybody's happy over the holidays. Not everybody has something to be joyous about. And, you know, we can't just leave them out in the cold, to speak.
And sometimes, you know what? I'm a pretty joyous person myself. I like to say I'm pretty peppy, right, Mike?
You've got some energy,
as are you. Sometimes you just need a good cry, you know?
Yeah.
And even around the holidays, it's kind of nice to go there, and it makes you appreciate all the peppy, joyous songs, all the Whams and Mariah Carey's out there, which are dominating the wear phase and the wear phase, the airwaves. around the holidays. But so let's jump into it. Okay, here we go. Maisha Bruger-Gossman.
I mean, everybody has their own music that they associate with the season.
I think in a pinch, like Bing Crosby, you know, just kind of classic, you know, Ella Sleigh-Bells, White Christmas, you know, like kind of old timey vinyl.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of any kind of modern type, like that would have played consistently in my house.
Yeah. And that's interesting that, like you mentioned, Bing Crosby or A White Christmas or something, where these are songs that have been gone through generations and you know, people will reinterpret them and everything. But like you said, you mentioned it earlier, it's a familiar sort of skeleton to hang it on. I mean, why do you think these sort of songs, that they resonate like continually? People don't get tired of hearing them.
Well, I think that the ones that people love the most are sung well. I think that because the holiday season, maybe more than any other time of year, brings people together to sing, I think that the concept of singing is probably at its strongest during the holiday season. Because, you know, that's the time when the family gathers around the piano, maybe, and sings things or goes to a concert, or there's always music involved. You know, it's the time of year where there is the strongest and most opulent soundtrack. And I think that the songs have stood the test of time because a lot of the time people can sing them together. And that ability to, you know, bring together people in concert is a way of celebrating.
She's a lot of fun.
Hey, so when you were interviewing them, or for in general, when you're viewing Maisha or whoever it might be, the Tenors, or all the other amazing celebrities that you interview, and Mike's going to name drop a lot, guys. I should come up with a special effect that just goes boom every time Mike Mike name drops.
That should
Clang,
be
Clang, Crash. I don't know, something like something from Batman, like the original
we
Batman.
We have to rename the podcast The Name Drop.
Yeah, The Name Drop. That's oh my.
That time I was sitting there talking with Michael Douglas. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Which actually happened.
But. So, of course it did.
See, that's already, when I'm joking about it, it's...
which actually happened, guys. So now I lost track on my train of thought. When we're, so you wouldn't know because I didn't bring it up yet. When you were interviewing a musician or let's stick with musicians, like Meisha, for instance, about a holiday album, how far in advance before the holidays is it? Like, are you guys talking about the beautiful holidays, like in September?
Yeah.
Like, how's that go?
Well, that's the funny thing. Often, you know, if you're releasing an album in December, you know, it takes a long time to record and create the album. You have to write it. You lay down the tracks. You have to all the audio engineering and everything that goes into it, the marketing, the packaging. So like Meisha had recorded that album that we were talking about in July. And, you know, so that's the sort of the funny thing. So when we're talking about it, sometimes it's around the holidays, but you're right. Sometimes it's in like September, or October for a long lead interview. And it's funny because it could be, you know, you're not really in the Christmas spirit. But I mean, at least I'm just doing the interview. She had to sing in July about Christmas.
Yeah.
So
it's so weird, the Christmas spirit. It's very true. Like, I usually don't get into it. A lot of people, it's like December 1st right away, you know, on Christmas songs all the time. You know what I mean? My ugly Christmas banner, I got 10 of them all the time. Not me. It's like a week before. That's when I get into it myself.
Yeah.
But it's just something you kind of, I don't know, it just turns on in you when it turns on in you.
Yeah. And some people seem to have it from sort of the beginning. You know, like they always carry it in them no matter how,
you mean
you know,
throughout the year?
Whatever. Well, yeah. And even just like
spreading
from childhood into adulthood and the older they get, they still carry it. Other people, you know, for me, I'm working. And so I'm focused on deadlines. And then that's when I realize like, oh, no, it's December 20th and I need to buy gifts. So and then I get into the Christmas spirit, albeit a little bit late, but it shows up eventually.
I might got to interview Loretta Lynn, the Loretta Lynn.
The Loretta Lynn, the first lady of country. I interviewed her last year. I love Loretta Lynn. And full disclosure, I say that as someone who has...
stalked Loretta Lynn?
No. As someone who's not really even a fan of her music, you know, and I, not that I don't like her music, it's just it's not really my thing, but she's such a sweet, amazing person. I've interviewed her twice and she's so kind and so she invited me down to stay with her. She, obviously it's sort of a joke, but she said on the phone, oh, you're so nice, you should come down and stay at our place in I don't know where, Kentucky or somewhere. But she's super sweet and she had one of those Christmas stories that's like, I won't ruin it, I won't say anything about it, but it's a tearjerker in a way, you know, like it tugs at your heartstrings. It's not like the happiest story, but it's a really poignant story that sort of reminds you of like what's really important.
We were just saying you had your last Christmas album 50 years ago. Now you have this one. In that 50 years, I mean, does just the spirit of Christmas or the meaning of Christmas hold a different significance to you now than maybe it did 50 years ago?
It takes me back.
Yeah.
I want to go back, you know, and we didn't get nothing hardly, but it was the idea of Santa Claus coming, and with us kids that was growing up, you know,
mm-hmm.
We didn't get much, but we sure was happy with what we got.
Right.
And Mommy, she made that candy out of sorghum, and they called it horehound candy. I never heard it in my life, but that's what Mommy called it, and I didn't try to make it because I never did like it because I love sorghum, and I eat sorghum and butter when I eat sorghum, but Mommy made the candy out of sorghum, and she would pop popcorn, we'd string it, and that's what we put on the Christmas tree. We had a real Christmas tree, though, and we put that popcorn, rope it all the way around the Christmas tree. And as Christmas is over, Mommy catches sneaking in and taking the popcorn off and eating it. There are so many little things like that, you know, you've got to remember.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's really sweet because these songs that you sing, it doesn't matter if you had a upbringing where you couldn't afford a lot of money or didn't get a lot of presents or you did, they're universal, it seems.
Yeah, I got a, my first dollar was secondhand. Mommy got it for 25 cents. And, you know, that doll was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And so finally, Mommy got me a little doll that had never been used. And it was about 7 inches long. And this little friend of ours died, little Mabel, with pneumonia. And Mommy mentioned, well, Mabel didn't get a doll this Christmas. So I went and took my doll. I had it under my bed in a box. And I took my doll out. And I went to the coffin, and I laid that little doll in her arms.
Oh, wow.
And Mommy cried and cried and cried. I said, Mommy, why are you crying? She said, I've took from the living and give to the dead. I said, Mommy, I couldn't play with that doll. And Mommy says, why couldn't you play with the doll? I said, it was new, and I didn't want to get dirty. So I can't play with it. So I needed to give it away. And it did my heart good.
Wow, that's so sweet.
Sure did. And they buried her. They had her on the back porch of this old big old rundown house, you know.
Yeah.
In Howdy Look in Kentucky. And she was the prettiest little girl. She had curls all the way around her head. And she was 7 years old and died.
Oh. Well, that's such a, I mean, it's a sad story, but it's a beautiful gesture that you made.
Hurt me, and I told Mommy, and I talked to Mommy afterwards, and I've told her a couple, three times later, you know, I told her, Mommy, don't ever feel you did that. I did that, Mommy. Hmm. You didn't make me do it. You just brought it up, and I said, I just needed it, somebody to tell me to.
Yeah.
You know? But that's where that little doll went.
Wow, that's so sweet. You know, that's a sort of a spirit of Christmas, too, is it's not about the gifts, it's about the attention.
That is it, yeah. You know. But before that, Mommy would always make me a doll out of socks for Christmas time. And I don't know, we didn't have nothing, but we, if you got something like that, it was something, because people didn't have nothing to, you know, to give you.
Right.
There was no money.
Right.
You know, Daddy worked hard in that coal mine. He'd load that coal for a dollar a load, you know.
All right, Mike, I don't know how you sit, like you're about to interview Loretta Lynn and you don't have like a box of tissues.
I know. You know what? It was, I know Loretta Lynn and she's had some really hard times in her life growing up. When you ask a person about a favorite Christmas memory, you assume it's going to be something like, you know, singing at a Christmas pageant and they trip and fell on the stage or something and was so embarrassed and, oh, that's funny, you know. I wasn't expecting something so poignant and something so like, you know, tugging at your heartstrings. But, I mean, I guess, you know, knowing Loretta Lynn and how she grew up and it was a really tough life, I shouldn't have been surprised. It was really beautiful.
Oh, I would expect nothing yeah. less. I'd be like, well, I can't wait to talk to you. She's going to make me cry. It's going to be amazing.
She's so sweet.
I know. She is. And just so great. Still releasing like amazing albums.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, yeah, the album she released last year, the Christmas album, was her second Christmas album and her first one in 50 years. But she had a stroke actually earlier this year in May, so I also want to send our best wishes to her for a speedy recovery. She's 85 mm-hmm. and still going strong, so you know, get well, Loretta.
She's still pretty funny in that interview, Mike. Yeah. There's a point where you say to her, oh, "Wow, you know what? That was really sweet of you." And she says, "Yeah, I know."
Yeah. Oh, she's every one of her wits. She's got them all about her. It's really good. She's really cool. Yeah, I love her.
Quickly, just talk about what we're going to expect for the podcast in the new year, 2018.
Yeah, we have 6 years worth of interviews that we sort of want to go back through, and I won't go on and on about it, but, you know, we've got people like Jan Arden, our current cover subject. We've got Donald Sutherland, who's got a new movie coming out in the new year. We've got Yannick Bisson, star of Murdoch Mysteries, Dan Aykroyd, who went to his family cottage in Kingston. And, yeah, I mean, just the list goes on and on. We've got a lot of really cool, fun people.
Barry Gibb.
We got Barry Gibb.
The
Barry Gibb. Staying Alive, Barry Gibb.
Oh, you don't have to tell me what Barry
Gibb. Oh, I know. We got the ultimate Barry Gibb fan here. But, yeah.
Big Bee Gees fan.
Yeah, I got to go down to his home in Miami when he was releasing a new album, talk to him and his family. So,
Did you steal an ashtray, Mike?
I didn't steal
any tchotchkes. No tchotchkes.
Christopher Plummer, the great Christopher Plummer, who is who's a hero right now in All the Money in the World, the movie that he took over for Kevin Spacey, and they filmed it in 9 days.
They had to reshot
it in 9 days, all of his parts, 88 years old. So we sat down with him. And, you know, a lot of these that we've done over the past 6 years, you know, there's a lot of cool insights. So I look forward to bringing them forward for everybody to hear. I
can't wait to walk down celebrity name drop lane with Mike. It's going to be quite the journey. I can't wait. I'm going on with you as well. So you and I went to I'm the video producer. So I accompany Mike and other editors on occasion. And I'm going to be releasing some of that audio, too, that doesn't necessarily make the video series that we would release of the interviews.
Well, hey, we just interviewed Suzanne Summers.
Yeah.
The great Suzanne Summers.
And I lost 7 minutes of footage on the video side, but the audio's
the
there.
Audio, perfect for a podcast.
Perfect for the podcast. Okay, so let's jump into the Brent Butt story.
Yeah, the Brent Butt story had me laughing.
Butt. Say that 10 times, Mike.
Brent Butt.
Brent Butt. Brent Butt. Brent Butt.
He's... For people who don't know him, he's the star, the writer, the creator of the show Corner Gas.
Who doesn't know who Brent Butt is?
Well, some people, you know, if you don't watch Corner Gas, if you're living under a rock somewhere outside of Saskatchewan and you don't know.
I'm not from Saskatchewan.
No, but
I have
Corner
good
Gas
friends
is,
that are from
is,
there. But Corner... I love, I know, of course. Yeah. Okay, hello. I know. But, it's a Canadian staple. It's just
it
the
is.
Best.
Absolutely. It's a huge sitcom. And anyway, you and I actually met Brent recently in Toronto to interview him for a project that we cannot name at the moment, but we are going to have in a future podcast.
But you're teasing
podcast.
It, Mike.
I'm teasing it. It's under embargo at the moment, but we are going to have him on in the near future. But for this story, it's a sort of a Christmas morning, or actually it turns out to be a Boxing Day morning gone wrong. And he talks about a toy that he had been asking for. The only thing he wanted for Christmas is the Turbo Tower of Power.
Well, there's a story that I have told a few times about when I was being a little kid and getting this turbocharged, this air-powered motorcycle. A little model motorcycle that you pumped up with air and then it would drive off and it would jump up ramps and do tricks.
Okay.
It was called the TTP Turbo Tower of Power.
Okay.
And it was fantastic. And I got it for Christmas and I played with it all Christmas Day. And the idea was you put this motorcycle on this little pump and you would pump up the turbine inside the motorcycle and you'd flip a switch and it would rock it off. Okay. And so I played with it all Christmas Day and I woke up Boxing Day morning to this insane high-pitched whine, a sound I'd never heard before, the screaming, whining machine sound, and I sat up in bed and I looked at the foot of the bed and there was my brother, my older brother, Lloyd, he's 4 years older than me. He had my Turbo Tower of Power, the motorcycle on the tower, pumping it to heights it had never been to before, pointed directly at the wall, about 4 inches away from the wall. And just as I, just as I came to and saw him doing that, he flipped the switch to release it, and it rocketed into the wall and smashed into three solid pieces.
Oh my God.
It was the end of my Turbo Tower of Power. And he always says, yeah, I don't need you to tell it, so I don't even remember doing that. I said, yeah, because it didn't traumatize you. But, you don't remember. It didn't scar you emotionally and make you question existence.
Oh, my
it
God.
It was a bit bigger deal for me.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. I hope everybody had fun listening to these interviews that we've done, this Christmas-themed edition of Ages and Icons.
I sure did.
Yeah, me too.
almost too much fun.
We
have a holiday hangover already at this point. Just on the food alone, the food coma alone, which I currently am in here at Zoomer. Mike, we partook, is that a word?
Partook?
Partakens?
No.
Whatever.
We had a big lunch.
We had a huge fried chicken lunch. Yeah. It was incredible. And I don't know about you, Mike, but if I don't have multiple food comas over the holiday season, then it's,
well, it's
not,
not
a
the
holiday.
Holidays.
For me.
It's not the holiday. So that's
right.
Why we wanted to get into the holiday spirit. We gorged and then we talked. Mm-hmm. It's basically what we're all going to do over the holidays anyway, gorge and then talk about. You know, whatever comes to our mind. For us, it happened to be celebrity interviews.
Excuse me, before I spread joy, I need to gorge. Before I can spread love and peace around the world, I have to gorge. That's what it's all about. You know, Mike, this was great. I am so looking forward to walking down celebrity name drop lane with you in the new year.
I am too. Yeah. New year, new you, new podcast. As we said before, lots of cool names coming up. And I'm really looking forward to bringing them to all the listeners.
Okay. Happy holidays and a happy new year to you, Mike.
You as well, Gina. All the best, everyone. Thanks for listening to Ages and Icons.
Woo-hoo,
take care.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.